Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Science of Kabbalah. This is Rabbi Yitzchak, and I believe I'm going to be flying solo today. William has been in Houston the past couple of days. I know there's been a big event there with Rabbi Singer and one of the rabbis from the Noahide World Center in Yerushalayim. I know Shannon Newsom came in, also from Beinenu. So a lot's going on. A lot's going on here as well. You have not heard us live or see an updated show in the last couple of weeks. It's because I've been in the process of moving, one of my farthest moves. Just joking. Actually moved two doors away from where I lived before in the holy city of Tzfat. Still have my amazing view of Mount Meron and Rabbi Shimon. And we have a lot going on here in the city because it's Bein Hazmanim, the time when all the yeshivot are on break. And so many people come up here to the north in Tzfat. One of the things that I want to talk about today relates to something, again, in my personal life. As many people might remember, my mother of blessed memory passed away just under a year ago. Actually, this Shabbat will be the Shabbat that I will read the Maftir, the final portion of the Torah, and recite the Haftarah as the Shabbat before the 1 year is up. And we do what's called an Askara, a memorial service, or some people know it as a Yahrzeit. It will be just before the 1 year. So everything that we talk about today really will be for the elevation of the soul of my mother. Her Hebrew name was Hinda Bat Chaika. So please have the elevation of the neshama in your thoughts and in your prayers. So one of the things that is interesting that we really haven't discussed so much on this show in the past is the idea of the soul and the idea of reincarnation, the idea of what we call Gilgul. It's a very interesting subject from a Kabbalistic perspective. I think it's a subject that a lot of people really don't understand and something that probably people would want to know more about. So we're going to touch a little bit on the idea of reincarnation here and what some of the sources say, and then see if we can get into what the weekly Parsha, how that is connected, the Parsha of Ekev, and then the Haftarah that we read in Isaiah 49. So stick with us. We're going to go to a short break, and we'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Zipinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah. As I said, this is Rabbi Yitzchak flying solo today. And before the break, I was talking about how it is the coming up on the Yahrzeit of my mother of blessed memory, be 1 year. And I wanted to talk about the concept of Gilgul, the concept of reincarnation, and see if we could find some connections to the Torah portion, Ekev, and the Haftorah that we read in Isaiah 49 for this week coming up on Shabbat. First, I want to talk a little bit about the soul. We know that the soul is eternal. We've talked about this several times on this show, the idea of the fact that we are a spark of the divine. We see that in the book of Eov and Job, it says that we are a part of Hashem above. We know that the soul also exists before it enters the body, and it lives after the body is laid to rest. This is a a major, major concept in Judaism. Oftentimes I'm asked about the concept of the afterlife. And I remember having a case when I was on staff with Jews for Judaism where a guy that was sort of involved in Judaism but also was flirting with Christianity, he said to me on the phone that he sort of was leaning towards Christianity because he felt that they gave him a good answer for the idea of what happens after you die. And after he asked some questions and he told me what he thought, I said, so here's the thing. I said, basically, what you're looking at this is you're looking at it from a wrong perspective. What you have to understand is in Judaism, we only have eternal life, that there is no death in a sense. Yes, our physical body ceases to operate. If our heart stops or our brain stops, then we know that the body ceases to function. But that does not mean that the soul ceases to function. The soul is eternal. The soul is a spark of the divine. The soul is a piece of Hashem. It says, Nishmat Chaim in Genesis, that he blew the breath of life into man. And so we have a piece of that. We have a spark of that. We have that in our neshama. So you have to look at it in the sense that our body is sustained by our soul. Our soul is not sustained by the body. So that's a major concept that people need to understand. And so we understand that the soul's place of origin is actually in the upper worlds. And there is something that the soul can achieve in a body that it can't achieve in the heavenly realms. We've talked about this a little bit in the past as well, that the purpose of creation was really, one of the purposes of creation was to make an abode for this divine spark in the world. Although the higher worlds are incredible and they're glorious in terms of sort of the revelation that exists there and the reward that exists for the soul in the Olam Haba in the world to come, after the soul has completed its earthly mission, we know that the heavenly realms are really not the purpose of creation, that really this physical realm was the purpose of creation for us to come into this physical body and for us to complete a particular mission. We know that we've talked about this as well, that it was Hashem's desire, that it was the Creator's desire to create a world where his presence would be concealed, in a sense. And you could say that it was going to be concealed and revealed at the same time. And that he sort of gave the mission of his children the task of creating a place in this world. And the soul that we're talking about, this neshama, fulfills that mission. How? By its adherence to Torah and to the mitzvot. So we know that Kabbalah explains that the soul is comprised of 613 channels, which also parallels what we know the number 613 is the number of mitzvot that we have in the Torah. And Chazal, our sages, teach that this parallels 248 limbs and 365 blood vessels of the body, which equals the 613 channels that are able to attain this sort of upper or eternal elevation when all of the mitzvot are fulfilled by a soul when it exists here in this earthly realm, in this physical realm, if it's possible at all to fulfill the 613 mitzvot. And this is where we get into a little bit about the concept of reincarnation and Gilgul, because we know, as I just said, that if it's possible for a soul to complete that, this is the issue. The issue is that generally it would be very difficult for all of the commandments to be fulfilled in what we would call one mission here in this physical realm. And so the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, Rav Yitzhak Luria, who we know is came and brought us much of what we know about the Kabbalah through his main disciple, Rabbi Chaim Vital, who was his scribe. He writes that every soul has to be sort of reincarnated, and it sort of happens over and over again until all of the 613 mitzvot have been fulfilled. Now, if we return for a moment to the concept of the physical realm and the idea of having a physical body, one of the concepts related to what we would call the lower worlds is the concept of Gehinnom. And this idea of Gehinnom being a place where the soul is cleansed in order to be elevated to the Garden of Eden, to the upper Garden of Eden. We know that there was a Garden of Eden here on Earth, but anything that exists here in the physical realm, when we're talking about Kabbalah, exists in the upper worlds as well. And so we have this concept of a soul being in Gehinnom no more than 11 months. And this is why we say Kaddish, we say the memorial prayer for 11 months and not for 12 months. So I finished saying Kaddish for my mother a few weeks ago. And now we're coming up to, like I said, the Shabbat before. And a week from this Wednesday will be the Yahrzeit, will be 1 year. The Kabbalists explain that when a soul returns to this world, that a part of the soul that was elevated by the Torah learning that it did and the mitzvot that it performed is not reincarnated. Rather, it's only parts of the soul that were not affected by the first time that that soul was reincarnated. So in other words, as the Ari said, there's this process that goes on. So, for instance, if somebody was at a particular level of learning, of Torah learning at the time that they passed, and they were at a particular level of completing the mitzvot, it would only be the parts of that soul that weren't affected by that Torah learning and by those mitzvot that would need to be reincarnated. And this is where we get into the concept of sparks. This is why I use that terminology at the beginning when we talk about a spark of the divine. You might have heard in early shows where we talked about the Shvirat Kelim, the idea of the shattering of the vessels, where the sparks, the holy sparks, fell to the lower worlds. And one of the things that we're trying to do in everything that we learn as it relates to the Torah, as it relates to mitzvot, and bringing people to the knowledge of Hashem, is the idea of elevating these sparks. So the same way we're talking about elevating the soul, we also want to elevate the sparks as well. And so we have the possibility of a soul sort of being divided and being reincarnated in this divided state is discussed quite a bit in the Kabbalah, at length in the Kabbalah, but we don't have time to really go into detail about that. And where does this come from, this concept of the soul being divided and being part of a soul being reincarnated? It comes from the idea, and we have talked a little bit about this in the past, is the idea that all of us are part of the original soul of Adam HaRishon, the first man. That the soul of Adam was composed of all the future souls. In the same way that we learn that the soul of Yaakov, the soul of Jacob, was comprised of 70 parts, which were then further subdivided into the 600,000 souls of the people of Israel. And then these 600,000 were then subdivided further into another 600,000. And this is how you see how we see the growth and the movement and the elevation of these souls and these sparks. And so through all of these different reincarnations that we speak about in Kabbalah, that all parts of the soul are then elevated. And once the entire soul has been elevated, then the soul no longer has the need to be reincarnated. And this sort of explains the sort of the strange idea of why certain people engage in a specific mitzvah, and they're very good at doing that. And it could be that the person's soul has sort of come back into this world again for the sake of that specific mitzvah. So when you see somebody that's very connected to one sort of particular mitzvah, or they're connected to one particular area of Torah and they really excel at that, it could be that that person's soul came again for the sake of that specific mitzvah. That's just one of the things that comes up in the Kabbalah. And there are really several different reasons for the idea of why we teach in Kabbalah the different reasons for the reincarnation of the souls. But we're going to have to go to a break, since we come back, we'll get more into that, some of the reasons, and talk a little bit more about this. And hopefully we'll have time to get into Akev, the Haftorah, and some of those connections. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Science of Kabbalah. This is Rabbi Yitzchak again, and I want to apologize in advance if you hear any extra noise. As I said, it's very busy here in the city, and I did move, and while I have this amazing view, it's very hot here in Israel right now, so the windows are open, and the street that I live on now is a little bit, I'm on the other side of where I used to live, so my window looks out right on the street, and it's sort of a main street. I've mentioned many times that I live just above the amazing old cemetery where many of the tzaddikim, like the Ari HaKadosh and Rabbi Yosef Karo, and all of the great tzaddikim are buried. So it gets very busy here, and there's horns honking and so forth. So you'll forgive me. Hopefully we won't hear too much of that. So we've been talking about the idea now of the different reasons for reincarnation of the soul. And I mentioned before that it could be maybe because a soul was really excelling in a particular type of mitzvah or a particular area of Torah. There are other reasons. It can be that a person actually sinned against the Torah and now is returning to rectify that particular area. It can be that the person is returning to perform a mitzvah that he had not completed. And then it could be a reason for the sake of actually another individual to guide and to help that other individual be rectified. So sort of in the first thing that we talked about, in the first scenario, it's taught that a person or the soul can easily sin because he originally transgressed. In the second, he's less likely to sin. In the third, in the final, where this soul is coming back to guide and rectify another individual, he certainly will not sin. There's a teaching by Rabbi Yeshaya Levi Horowitz that brought several interpretations on this. And he says there are some sins for which the cleansing in the spiritual realm alone does not suffice. That souls who have sinned and have not properly repented while they are alive are sometimes forced to undergo a second round of life in this world as rehabilitation for sins that they committed in the past. And for the most part, rehabilitation occurs when the soul is faced with the same challenge to which it succumbed in its previous life and overcomes it. So in other words, you have some kind of challenge in your life and you do not overcome it in this life, that there's the potential for this reincarnation of that soul in order for you to face that same challenge again in order to somehow overcome that challenge. And it could. He also teaches that this could be the reason why one should really spend as much time as possible to do tshuva, to repent, even if he knows that he has not done anything overtly wrong, that he still may have leftovers sort of from a previous life that need fixing. In fact, there are many people that have the custom to say, "I hereby forgive anyone who has angered or vexed me," in this incarnation or in another incarnation when they're doing their bedtime prayers every night, when they're doing the bedtime Shema and saying their tefillot. He then says that reincarnation provides an opportunity for souls to perform those commandments that they were unable to do in a previous incarnation. And again, quoting from the Ari HaKadosh, explains that the soul is comprised again of those 613 channels, which parallel the 613 mitzvot, which parallel the 248 limbs and the 365 blood vessels of the human body. And so these 613 channels attain this elevation when the soul fulfills all of those commandments. We mentioned that before. And usually, as we said, the soul doesn't have the ability to do that. And then finally, there are some souls who do not descend for their own growth or perfection. Again, as we said, the third scenario, and that they return to this earth really to benefit others. And this can be to help out an individual, or it might even be, in the case of a great tzaddik, to help an entire generation, both spiritually or even materially. And the Kabbalists point out that the Hebrew word for reincarnation, which I mentioned at the beginning, Gilgul, has the same numerical value, the idea of gematria, as the word chesed, or kindness. So this is that idea of a person coming back through chesed, through kindness, to affect and help another individual through rectification or even an entire generation. However, someone whose soul is not new, but a soul that has reincarnated and returned to this world, only has to complete those mitzvot that it is yet to fulfill in previous Gilgulim. These are all these different sort of kind of going into some of the details of what's taught in Kabbalah, what's taught by the Ari and the great Kabbalists as it relates to the idea of reincarnation. So as a result, the fulfillment of the mitzvot can take place over the course of all the Gilgulim, of all of these incarnations or reincarnations. And with this, we sort of understand why in the Talmud we learn of certain Torah scholars who are careful, very careful, with respect to particular mitzvot more than other mitzvot. While you might see another scholar was careful regarding a different mitzvah. We see this in Masechet Megillah in page 28a. For example, one Talmudic rabbi asked his colleague, in what mitzvah was your father most careful? And the one who this question was posed to was interested in determining the tzaddik's soul root and the focal point of that rectification. This is why he asked the question. And the reason is because sort of the more we understand about the tzaddik's shita, his way in the way he performs his mitzvot in his level of spirituality and the way he lives his life, the more we have the ability to learn from him and to emulate his ways. And how did he answer that question? He answered the mitzvah of tzitzit or tefillin, or something of that nature, he answered. But some say that this sort of seems to contradict the Mishnah that says, be as careful with a light mitzvah as you would be with a serious one in Pirkei Avot chapter 2:1. So the sort of the sod or the secret behind this is that every chacham, every scholar is careful with the particular mitzvah that is missing from his previous Gilgul, from his previous reincarnation, either all of it or part of it. And also another part of the secret that we find in the Talmud, where one person is focused on a particular character trait, not just a mitzvah, while another person or scholar is focused on a different one. For example, they asked one person, to what do you owe your long life? And he answered, all of my life, I was never particular about my honor. We see that with some of the great tzaddikim. There are some great rabbis that never wanted any honor. I can't remember the name of this one particular rabbi off the top of my head, but a friend was talking about him recently, where he said that every time he walked in a room, because he was so, people would stand up for him, he would always carry a masechet of Talmud with him, and he would say that they're not standing for me, they're standing for the honor of the Talmud, because he didn't want to accept any honor on himself. So at the end, each one worked on a certain trait, the scholars that we're talking about, and that remained lacking from his previous Gilgul. So that would be another area where not just a mitzvah or not just Torah learning, but it could be a particular, what we call the midot, the different character traits. So when we speak of a particular person sort of reincarnating into other people, we have to be careful not to make the mistake of thinking that this refers to the original soul. Instead, what we're saying is that a person's soul can divide into an unlimited amount of roots, and within one particular root, there is an unlimited amount of sparks. We're going back to this idea of sparks. And each rectification or each reincarnation, each gulgul, rectifies some of those sparks. That's a very important detail to understand, that we're not talking about, again, we're talking about sparks. In other words, it is the sparks that are not yet rectified that return, while those that are rectified end up ascending to the level that they're meant to ascend to, where they remain. And then from this, you can make the necessary connections and understand all of the different Gilgulim, all of the different reincarnations throughout history. So it's never the rectified sparks that reincarnate, but rather the sparks that have yet to be rectified. It's this idea of, again, back to what we said, it may be because of sin, it may be because of a person, but it's only related to maybe a mitzvah that wasn't completed, or a character trait that wasn't completed, or a Torah learning wasn't completed, but it's all related to the sparks, not to the original soul. Like we said, only a piece. Whatever that part was that needs to be rectified is what ends up returning. We're going to have to go to a break here in a sec. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about what happened in the times of the first temple as it relates to this, and try and wrap it up. I'm not sure we're going to get to Akev in the Haftorah, but we'll try to. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So one of the ways that I think it might be easy to understand, that I mentioned this just before we went to the break, was to look at this from the perspective of the First Temple. And one of the things that we know about the First Temple is that obviously it was a completely different structure, completely different culture at the time of the first temple compared to the second temple. One that was obviously built by Shlomo HaMelech, the desire for a David HaMelech, David the king, wanted to complete it, but Shlomo, his son, or Solomon in English, was the one who was able to. Whereas we know the second temple, you know, Herod's temple did not have that sort of the same kind of kedusha, the same kind of holiness. So if we go back and we look at the first temple, one of the things that we learn in one of the texts is that they served Hashem, it says, and they did not cast from themselves the yoke of heaven, except in certain idolatrous practices for which they had great desire. So much so that, for instance, in the time of Ahav or Ahab, we saw that only 7,000 people were left that had not given in or succumbed to the worship of Baal, Baal worship. It even goes on to say that all the kings who served these idols were great men, and they were tainted with this terrible sin, still of idolatry, even though that they were great men. And we see that all these generations who were most elevated, these most elevated souls, did not receive their rectification and their elevation until the times of, it's taught in the time of like Rashi and the time of Rambam and in the time of the Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal, which was from the year around 1096 in the days of Rashi until the expulsion of the Jews from Portugal in the year 1492, and then until the time of the Ari HaKadosh, who was here in Tzfat, which is around 1573. The Ari actually stated that in his time, the period of destruction that had swept the Jewish world for nearly 500 years had come to an end, and that all those who had sacrificed their lives in sanctification of the name of Hashem, whether it was in their thousands or their tens of thousands in each generation, he said all of them were connected to the souls of the first temple. That's why we're bringing up this idea of the first temple. And that their sin was that they had served idols, they had given in to Baal worship or some form of idolatry, and thus had nourished the klipot, what we call the husks, from the left side of the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, or the Sitra Achra, the other side, the side of evil. And so as a result, their rectification was to give up their lives in sanctification of Hashem's name, with sort of a simple faith, with simple emunah, which transcended any sort of understanding or any kind of logic. So think about this. Imagine that we're talking about a soul that entered the heavenly realms in the days of the first temple that had been subjected to this grave sin of idolatry. We would expect that a soul like that would greatly anticipate and want the opportunity to again rectify that mistake, to rectify that sin of idolatry. So for the soul, from a Kabbalistic standpoint and talking about Judaism, any sort of momentary pain involved, even if you're talking about some sort of terrible death, would be worth it to go through that in order to gain this sort of eternal elevation that we're talking about, to really reach that upper level for that soul to achieve rectification. So in other words, the soul comes back into a body in a later generation for that rectification. That's what we're talking about as it relates to that. We do have to make one distinction, and this is an area where also people often get confused and they don't understand. I think it's interesting because I have this amazing dog, our dog Mushy, who's a northern Inuit, and he's a very, very sweet boy. And we have more than once experienced people in Sfat walking around and they see our dog and they say he's definitely a ghoul. They look at him and they see a soul. Why do I bring that up? Because there is a distinction between souls that come back, that return or reincarnate into a human body, and those that reincarnate into other creatures or on other animals. Because we do have a concept of a human soul that can incarnate into an animal. And there are those that teach that this is really merely as an observer, that it's not in any sort of way to rectify anything. That's to say, in other words, that the animal is like any other creature of its kind, except that there's a reincarnated soul trapped inside of it. And so you can imagine, in talking about the pain that the soul experiences in its sin related to the first temple, wanting to come back, you can imagine the great pain that would be experienced by a soul trapped inside, forced to live and observe the life of this creature or this animal, and yet at the same time being powerless to control its behavior or any opportunity that there would be to rehabilitate it. And at the same time, this soul cannot really rehabilitate itself because it has no control over the action of the animal. They say, though, it can sometimes be rehabilitated through the actions of others. This goes back to this idea of another individual. And how would that be? It would be by someone reciting a blessing over it if it is kosher. So you can imagine, if we're talking about somebody being reincarnated, let's say, as a para, as a cow, and was somehow through shechita, through the idea of shechting, through the idea of a shochet, somebody who does ritual slaughter, saying a bracha over something that would be kosher, that would be an example of one way of sort of a rectification. We see that when you're talking about the creation of the different worlds, and from those used to create the world of Asiyah, these were what were considered the most refined souls. These were people that would be reincarnated into man, and they would be separated out. And then after that, we have the idea of animals who cannot speak, and then we have the vegetable kingdom, and then we have that which is inanimate, the inanimate creation, when we're talking about the different levels of the different worlds. However, at the same time, a person who's very righteous through his actions, such as eating for the sake of a mitzvah, can separate out aspects of the inanimate world and elevate them to the level of the next world, to say the vegetable kingdom, or to the animal kingdom, or even to the level of man. And we see this in Sha'ar HaMitzvot. And it relates to, I said we might not get there, we have a few minutes, it relates to this portion in Akev on the mitzvah of Berkat HaMazon, where we say the Berkat HaMazon, the blessing over food that we say after we've eaten. We see in the beginning of Parshat Akev that the Torah talks about the Eretz Yisrael, about the Promised Land, as a fabulous land that's blessed with water and with fruit and with grain and with different kinds of elements, copper and iron and so forth. And so the source for the mitzvah of what we call benching, which is saying the grace after meals, is in this parsha, is in the parsha of Akev, when the Torah says, you shall eat, be satisfied, and bless Hashem your God on the land which Hashem gives to you, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. This is a mitzvah not dependent upon necessarily the land of Israel. And benching is like other mitzvot that are on our personal bodies, regardless of where we are. So there would be some that would argue at some point that these were mitzvot that are incumbent only upon Jews that were living inside Eretz Yisrael and not incumbent upon people living outside of Eretz Yisrael. But we don't hold like this. But this is a mitzvot that anybody can perform. So it's here we have this concept of the Berkat HaMazon, this grace after meals, that has the ability to bring elevation. And this would be one of those things that sort of connects that concept that we're talking about. Because really what we're doing is we're blessing Hashem for the food that's benefiting our bodies, and it's not really dependent upon where we eat, because it's really an obligation for wherever we are. And we're told also this concept, a very big concept in this is this idea of to remember and not forget. At the beginning, I talked about the whole concept of personally as it relates to the elevation of the soul of my mother. And one of the things that we read in chapter 9, verse 7 is remember and do not forget. It says, Zachor al tishchach et asher hiktzavta et Hashem Elokecha b'medbar. To remember and not forget how you infuriated Hashem, your God, in the wilderness. What's the difference between the idea of remembering and don't forget? Well, you see in a midrash, it says that remembering is done orally. It has to be articulated. And do not forget is limited to what's in your heart. So it's really this idea of blessing Hashem orally. That's how we say the Berakat HaMazon. We articulate it. This is how we remember. And what's in our heart and bringing everything into our heart is how we do not forget. I'm sorry we've run out of time. Hopefully this helped you to understand a little bit about reincarnation and Gilgul. And we tried to make a connection to Akev. So I just want to thank you, everybody, for staying with us each week here on the Science of Kabbalah. Bless you all. Shalom, shalom.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.